going on?
They're coming.
Hello and welcome to episode 68 of Popcorn and Prosecco, a show that's all about talking about movies. I am Perry Nemiroff, and here are my co-hosts, Christy Puchko and Angie Han.
Hello. Aloha! We're not going to review that movie, about guys. You're welcome.
Yeah, really. So this week, we are going to do a little mini review of Poltergeist, which came out last weekend, and then we're going to talk about this weekend's big movie, not Aloha, San Andreas. So, first off is Poltergeist, and I'm going to take that one. Here is the sure-to-be-terrible IMDb synopsis. A family whose suburban home is haunted by evil forces must come together to rescue their youngest daughter after the apparitions take her captive. Okay, that's fine. I'm cool with that
yeah.
one.
Yeah, it is.
So, if you
I love that you didn't read it before we started recording. You're just like, I'm sure this is terrible.
Like,
whatever.
The large majority of them are pure shit. But then the second that came out of my mouth, I'm like, this is a remake. If someone can't write a proper synopsis, for this, there's something wrong with the world. So, if you are super into the original Poltergeist, and you're hoping that this movie is better than the original, and it's going to go on to be a classic in and of itself, you are going to be extremely disappointed. But that's not what this movie's trying to be, so it's okay. It's actually just genuinely putting a modern spin on the classic story and upping the comedy big time, and it kind of becomes almost its own thing, but with a very similar plot progression, and it's a lot of fun. A lot of the scares are really similar, you know, hat tips to the original, which is going to be fun for people who love the original, but at the same time, they're just fresh enough that they're going to keep you on edge, so you'll still be scared by them a little bit. Like, it's a fun, scary vibe. And then a new generation of potential Poltergeist fans could really enjoy it, too, because it's a lot more modern than what we saw in the 80s film.
You know, I gotta say, I think I like this one better than the original. I think the reason people are really obsessed with the original is because they saw it when they were young and when they were impressionable. And Angie actually watched it for the first time recently. Angie, do you want to tell us how that went?
Yeah, well, I liked it. I had never seen it as a kid, but I think in contrast to most people who are reviewing Poltergeist, I didn't grow up with the original. I don't have any nostalgic attachment to it. I saw it literally like 3 days before I saw the remake, and I like the original a lot. I think it's a little bit creepier. It's not really any scarier, if you understand the difference. But I think it actually kind of pisses me off because I feel like all the reviews I've read of Poltergeist are people complaining that like, oh, it's a remake, and it seems like it can't win. I've read people complain that it's too much like the original. I've read people complain that it's not enough like the original, and it pisses me off because the original is good, but I don't think it's this unassailable masterpiece that people think it was because they saw it when they were seven and didn't know any better.
I think much more highly of the original than you do. I wouldn't call it a masterpiece by any means, and I definitely think that parts of it do not hold up as well in this day and age, but I think the original does a much better job of taking the whole family element of it a little more seriously, like the need for parents to fight for their children's lives, which
well,
actually
that's because
it
they changed the focus
work.
In this movie.
I was going to say, it doesn't quite work in this one also because there's certain characters who did certain things in the original movie that aren't doing that thing anymore. I don't want to spoil.
Well, I think we can get into that. Basically, the protagonist of the first Poltergeist was the mom, and it was about her journey to rescue Carol Ann. And then in this one, they change that dynamic, and it's more about their 10-year-old son, Griffin, who at the beginning is scared of everything, and he has to kind of prove himself. And I actually really like that dynamic, because as a kid, I couldn't, even now, I don't have kids, whatever, I couldn't totally relate to her journey of trying to rescue her daughter, but everybody has had that feeling where you're afraid of something, and everyone's telling you that you're wrong to be afraid of it, and that you should calm down. But Griffin's right. He's right to be afraid of this house. And to experience that with him and to experience the success of not just convincing people there's something wrong, but to you know, get to be the hero, I really thought that was a great turn. And it made it more family-friendly in some respect, which I don't necessarily look for in a remake, but it also just made it interesting to me. This was not the movie I expected it to be. And I have to say, the writing in this is great. It's written by David Lindsay Abaire, who is a Broadway playwright, and it's very funny. Like, I know this is going to sound weird to say about something you're hoping will scare you, and I actually was freaked out a lot. Like, it's not the kind, it's not Babadook scary where it's going to follow you home and upset you for long times. But, like, I was, like, in my seat being like, oh, this is going to be upsetting, because the tension is very well directed. But David Lindsay Abaire creates these great character moments throughout the film where I really liked this family and felt connected to them. They didn't feel like a generic, like, goody-two-shoes family. I got where they were coming from. I liked them as people, and so I was very invested when they were in peril. And, like, for me, the best part of the movie is actually the awkward moments in between characters, because it felt real, and it grounded me, and it was hilarious.
Yeah, I think it definitely comes down to the writing, and it also comes down to, especially Sam Rockwell. I think the entire cast is actually really good. There's a couple characters that are underwritten and really could have been wiped out of the movie, but Sam Rockwell kills it in here, where he can, like...
Him and Rosemary DeWitt are, yeah, like, so sexy and believable as a married couple.
He doesn't take away
from
any of the scares, but he brings almost, like, a physical comedy to the scares sometimes, and just, like, his lines hit right on point, and his intonation is so perfect that you can't help but... Like, one of my favorite parts of the movie is that scene with the squirrel when he comes down the stairs after and he's acting all crazy. It's, like, the silliest, weirdest thing ever, but it connects to the scare that happened before. It's really funny, and I loved it.
Yeah. And also they have Jared Harris taking the, I forget her name, but the woman, the little woman who was like, Caroline, like that lady's, yeah, passed away.
Tangina.
So they got Jared Harris,
lady,
and I love him in this.
Yeah, he, yeah, was great. Yeah. And I really loved what they did with Jane Addams' character. Because I didn't see that coming. I thought that he was going to be kind
don't
of like
don't say what it is.
I thought he was going to, Jared Harris was going to be like a Tangina ripoff, and he would never be able to do it as well as she did. But that kind of added that extra layer that I needed.
They do
and
something fun with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think all in all, I mean, I would actually totally say people should go see this. I thought it was really fun to watch in theaters. Our audience got super into it, where, like, people were actually calling and responding at the screen in a way that was fun and not infuriating. So, yeah, I would say this is a really fun summer movie, and you should absolutely see it, regardless of whether or not you like the original.
I'm definitely going to agree with that.
I would say you should see it, but not if you're going to be an asshole and compare it constantly to the original. If you're,
yeah,
going to do that, then just watch the original again.
I really respect the fact that it didn't pull, like, a freaking Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street and literally just, like, populate the whole cast with, like, hot young rising stars and make it all flashy and modern. This, like, just what... It's like he knew what he was going for with this and kind of just stuck to it and did it, and I appreciated that.
Yes. All right,
so we're done with Poltergeist. We're moving on to our next one, which is San Andreas. Angie,
a disaster
that
movie in so many fronts.
Oh, please.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
All right. In the aftermath of a massive earthquake in California, a rescue chopper pilot makes a dangerous journey across the state in order to rescue his daughter. Perry, I see you making a face, but that is an accurate summary of the plot.
Yeah, that is pretty accurate. I guess when you have a plot that's pretty dumbed down, I mean...
I'm popcorn and Prosecco bingo. Everybody,
yeah,
cross
really
off that rare thing where Perry agrees it was a good synopsis.
So the rescue chopper pilot is played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson, which is a huge part of this movie because it's a movie that kind of hinges on the fact that he's incredibly charismatic and that you like him a lot. Because otherwise it's like not a very good movie. It's kind of exactly what you think it's gonna be based on the promos, I think. It's just like a lot of like CGI shaking and CGI destruction and like CGI nonsense and mayhem. But he's in it and I think he's so likable and I just find it so easy to root for him that I still really enjoyed it. It's a nonsense movie. The dialogue is laughable. I wish that I had written some of it down.
Literally laughable. Angie turned to me at one point and went like, this could be our next boy next door. Like, you were really excited about 10 minutes in.
Well, it's because
the,
yes,
dialogue was that dumb.
It's kind of like lines that Paul Giamatti had where someone's like, who should I tell? And sure enough, he has to say, everyone.
Everybody.
I think, like, Chrissy literally, like, she said everyone, and then on screen, Paul Giamatti was like, everyone. And I was like, yep, it's that kind of movie. You know,
yep,
what they're going to say before they even say it. But overall, I mean, as far as big CG destruction goes, we see that in so many movies, and I think that this movie it's up to par with the rest of them. I know that sounds like damning with faint praise, but based on the promos, I thought it was going to be a lot shittier, frankly. And besides Dwayne The Rock Johnson, there's also Carla Gugino as his ex-wife, and Alexandra Daddario.
There you go.
From True Detective.
Yep.
As his daughter. And she has, like, her own subplot where he's in L.A. trying to get to her in San Francisco, and she's in San Francisco hanging out with some Australian dude that's pretending to be British, and Rickon Stark. Sorry.
Right.
Which, that, like, little sense that made.
I didn't realize it was Rickon Stark until right before we started recording, and Angie flat out told me. Because, guys, I did forget Rickon Stark was a person.
Overall, I kind of feel like if it's the kind of movie that I would recommend you go see if you are just in the mood for some dumb summer popcorn movie. Like, it's exactly the kind of movie that I want when it's, like, you know, 90 degrees and humid outside and I just want to go to the theater for some air conditioning and to have some fucking popcorn and just turn off my mind
and
for
if
2 hours.
Like,
I think it kind of works really well for that.
And if you like disaster movies, it's just like, I've kind of grown up from, you know, like, Armageddon to Deep Impact or Deep Impact to Armageddon to, like, The Day After Tomorrow. Like, I almost expect something
like
this every
few
years, and I enjoy seeing it's a terrible thing to say, but I kind of, like, enjoy seeing crazy destruction like this happen, because, like, it's fake and in the movie, and in this case, I think it's very, you know, cartoonish and crazy, and it's, like, you want to root for the heroes. It's fun.
Well, see, that's my, one of my issues. I hated this movie. Like, I actually wanted to, like, leave. Like, several times I wanted to leave this movie, and if we weren't reviewing for the podcast, I might have. I don't leave things when I'm reviewing them. But it was several things. First off, for me personally, and I'll admit, there's stuff that they've shown a little bit in the trailers of tsunami stuff, which is also something we saw in Pompeii and whatever. And flooding stuff, just, I grew up in Johnstown, and for those of you that don't want the history lesson, it's basically only known for flooding. That's all we got. And it's a very terrifying reality that I was never in a flood, but when you grow up in a town like that, they talk about it a lot. And so, like, being caught in a flood is, like, a very prescient fear I have. So that,
I wanna say
on that level
that.
Alone.
So I think it's interesting that that's how you reacted to it, because, I mean, I grew up in California where we are constantly being warned that exactly the shit that happens in this movie is going to happen to us in, like, nobody knows when, and unlike in the movie, no one can predict it, but I felt like I had the opposite reaction, where because of that, I found it more satisfying to see it play out, and, like, it's just kind of like facing these, like, fears that you have. And
it's kind of
it's
like
satisfying.
The appeal of a horror movie to me, where, like, obviously I would never want to be in the middle of, like, a slasher murder spree, but to see something like that crazy play out on screen, it's like, hell yeah, like, adrenaline
rush. I think it's
rush.
Because...
It's the same thing with disaster situations, too.
We had talked a little bit before about the idea of cartoony violence and cartoony action, disaster movies. A lot of the disaster movies we mentioned are things that feel very far away and very unlikely. Like, you know, I know I'm sure there's some possibility that, like, a meteor could crash into the Earth, but it's not something we think about on a daily basis. So seeing it on the big screen, it has this kind of fun, spectacular feel. Whereas, like, I just don't think of flooding. I mean, you know, it's happening now in Texas, not to this degree, obviously, but, like, I don't think of flooding as something that grandiose. So those scenes in particular really hit me hard, and all the buildings falling, like, all that stuff really started to agitate me and get me upset, which is something personal, and I can understand that. But the issue I take with the movie beyond just my own personal, like, oh god, flood stuff, because it fucking upsets me, is that this is not a movie about heroes. Like, what's weird, they spend the first 5 minutes setting up that The Rock is, like, a helicopter pilot whose job is to, like, fly into incredibly dangerous situations and rescue people. And he does with brute strength and muscles and nonsense. And then you're like, yay, that's what this movie's going to be about. And that's what I thought the movie was going to be about, was him rescuing people. But it's not, because even though he is flying to work at the beginning of the arc, basically he finds out that soon-to-be ex-wife and his daughter are in trouble, and he completely bails on his mission to go rescue people in this earthquake, and specifically focuses on rescuing the two of them. And anybody else he rescues along the way is incidental. And I just found that really disturbing, because, like, it's not like Independence Day or something where you have, like, average people who are just trying to survive. Like, he is not an average person. He knows things. Like, his responsibility is to rescue people beyond his own family. And I got really increasingly upset with that as they kept talking about the devastation and showing, like, so many, they never in the end of the movie say how many people died in this, and they're, like, just kind of like, well, America, and we got through it. And I was like, whoa, time out. Like, so many people must have died in this movie. Like, literally millions of people probably died in the course of this story, some of whom you see die horribly. And I just didn't find that fun. I felt that, I got genuinely very upset. I mean, you guys can attest to that. I was, like, shaken.
I can see what you mean. I agree that it's weird that they set it up like he's going to rescue people and then it kind of becomes a personal thing. I think it would have worked better if they didn't establish right away that he is a person whose job it is to rescue people, because on the level that it's a story about a father trying to get to his family during a catastrophic disaster, I completely understood that. Like, I do think it's weird that the movie makes a choice of making it seem like he's going to rescue people, but I also can't really fault a guy for being like, you know, something horrible has happened, everyone's dying, and I really, really need to be with my family.
And like, he was in the helicopter when he got the call from his wife that she was on the top of a building during a
but she is the only person he rescues.
And it was also the point that he makes that he wasn't even on his way to the mission, he was on his way to maintenance to get the
helicopter. No, he was on the way back from maintenance. That's why it worked.
He was going back to maintenance.
He was on the way back from maintenance.
Back from, well, so he wasn't going directly to the mission. He was probably, like, picking up his people. I don't know. Maybe that's not a good excuse, but
they even had a speech where they're like, realistically, dude, why did you call off this weekend?
If I was, like, some sort of LAFD helicopter search and rescue pilot, and a loved one called me at the top of a building and is like, holy shit, this building's collapsing, help me. Like, I'd probably turn the helicopter around and go get them. And then exactly, after that, it's kind of like everything had gone to shit anyway. I mean, where was he going to go? There were earthquakes
everywhere. But real life and this movie, like this movie, there's actually a scene where him and another guy are talking and he's like, dude, why didn't you take the weekend off to spend time with your daughter? And he's like, because this is my job. And I thought, oh, so that's going to be the conflict, is not just him versus the elements to rescue his daughter, but him versus his sense of duty to rescue other people. And then I was like, oh, no, fuck that. Like, we're not going to talk about that ever again. And it's all going to be about him using, by the way, state stuff to rescue two people.
Who don't actually need to be rescued. That's another thing.
And who aren't
in
his jurisdiction.
I completely understand why a dad would want to be with his family in a time of need, but it's this thing where he starts out on this mission because his daughter says she's trapped, and then she calls him back and she's like, actually, I figured out a way out. I'm completely fine, but he still wants to go see her, which makes sense. But as Christy points out, I do agree that that's like kind of a weird thing the movie does. It didn't bother me to the extent that Christy did. I think partly because the whole disaster porn aspect of it also didn't bother me as much as it did for Christy. I do want to talk about one thing in this movie that was like kind of infuriating, which is that everyone makes the worst fucking decisions. Everyone reacts to this earthquake in a way where I'm like, it's just common sense.
Well,
that
did you see
no
what
sense.
That expert tweeted? Did you read? Some expert went and saw San Andreas, and one of her things was a vertical, like, escape. I forget the proper term now, but that going up into the building was actually the right thing to do because the wave was coming,
it's
so
the right
you could get higher and higher.
It's the right thing to do in a tsunami. It's the right thing
I guess,
to do in a tsunami.
And, like,
it's
she came up with the idea
doing.
During the earthquake portion of it, but, you know,
it's
in the end she was kind of right.
It's something that they're already doing. Like, everyone knows, as a Californian, I'm just gonna throw it out there. As a Californian, you were taught from when you were 5 years old that when there's an earthquake, you get under something sturdy and just duck and hold on and wait for the shaking to be over. In this movie, the second shaking starts, everyone just starts running around. And everyone, and even if you didn't know that, in the movie you see high-rise after high-rise toppling, and the girl who is supposed to be smart about earthquakes and like disasters is like, we need to get to the highest building. I'm like, girl, every single fucking high-rise has fallen.
They do
Why
have
would you
some
think that would be a good idea?
Plot points that make a little more sense, but I was more bothered by, like, I don't know what I would do in this situation, so I was just kind of like, whatever, that's what they think they need to do, fine. I was more bothered that every time they accomplish something small, like, we didn't get crushed by that building, something else horrible would happen immediately to them. It wasn't like Independence Day where lots of terrible things were happening to a bunch of people. It's all about this family and all the shitty things happening to them, and it just hit a point where I was just like, fuck this movie, I am having such, like, I was so agitated and so stressed out by the end of it that, like, I can't recommend this to anybody because it personally upset me so much. But I was one of the few because a lot of people were clapping throughout the movie. And it things that I don't think you should clap at because, yeah, there's a point where a bad guy dies, but he dies along with a slew of innocent people that we don't know if they were jerks. So, like, let's not clap. Sorry, I'm having
feelings. I don't
know. I mean, I'm hulking.
If that's
going
to be your standard for being morally outraged, like, every fucking blockbuster that comes out in the summer applies to
no,
that.
But it's a lot of blockbusters at least try to, like I said, we talked about Age of Ultron and all the people that could potentially have been collateral damage in that, and, like, you at least had, the Avengers were trying really hard to prevent the collateral damage. This is the same issue I had with Man of Steel, where all this shit was going on, and the movie, like, the heroes didn't give a shit that these people are dying, and, like, you know, they should. Like, that's the thing. It's not just the mass death you're seeing on screen. It's the fact that the heroes give no fucks that mass death is happening to everyone but them.
Well, we've already established that he's not really much of a hero, so yeah, also, but he's gets, not even he's there when that happens. The rock.
Like, I just can't accept him as, like, I'm just a dad trying to save my kids. Like, well, he's 900 pounds wide.
That's why this movie is coming out at this time of year, and that's why it is what it is. You know, this movie never would have happened if The Rock wasn't in the lead role in the movie, and it also probably wouldn't have been as fun without seeing him. I mean, the second you see The Rock on screen flying a helicopter in the middle of an earthquake, my instant reaction is like, fuck yeah, you know?
Yeah.
And like, that's
no,
kind
totally.
Of, that's
but
kind
I'm saying
of what drew the line between
that because
realism and a fun popcorn flick to me.
I feel like it goes too far into realism. I feel like they're trying to make him like an everyday guy, and it's like, look at him.
It's so hard to look at a movie a like
person,
this as
that,
being
right?
real when there's a movie nope. like The Impossible that exists.
I mean, yeah, that's
like that. That to,
I thought
that
about
to
the
me
impossible
was like
a lot.
Terrifying and like, and the flooding element had like a horrifying, like suffocating feel to it. This kind of felt like almost like a really crazy water ride, you know?
Oh God, I don't agree at all. They kept showing close ups of like people being stuck on rebar and stuff, and I was just like, oh God, this is everything that's terrifying. Like from the Hoover Dam on, I was horrified, and that's like minute 12.
The expert said that if the Hoover Dam would have collapsed, nobody would have been able to run away anyway. Because, like,
yeah,
the earth
was,
would have been shaking
like,
so much.
That was patently stupid. That was one of the things she pointed out, is that if the earth is shaking so much that it's causing the kind of damage you see there, which she also says is impossible, then you wouldn't actually be able to run around. You would be, I mean, imagine,
and
like,
that would
on...
be a very boring movie.
Yeah, no, I see why they did it the way they did, but I'm like, on every level, none of this
I feel like
makes
Perry's
sense.
Giving me script notes right now. I think it's a bad movie. Like, being like, and it wasn't as realistic as Christy thinks, and not winning me any over.
I wasn't directing that at you. Was my face, like, just on the screen?
And to me, it looked like you were literally like, so there, Punchko.
So to sum up, I mean, I think that I've said my piece, which is basically, it's a dumb movie, but if you want to just watch The Rock, like, fight an earthquake for 2 hours, sure, it's fun, it's stupid, it's fun. But, and Christy, you want to...
Yeah, I would say no. I can't recommend this to anyone. I really hated this. I think this is probably one of the movies I've hated more than anything I've seen in, like, maybe the past 5 years.
What about you, Perry?
It upset me a lot.
I say if you like typical Hollywood disaster movies, go see this. It might not be the best of the bunch, but I think it's still a lot of fun. All right. So that is it for episode 68 of Popcorn and Prosecco. You know the rules, hopefully, at this point, but you can find us all over the place on our YouTube channel. You can find us on iTunes, where it would be very helpful if you could rate and comment. And then you can like us on Facebook. You can tweet at us at Popcorn Prosecco on Twitter. What am I missing? The website, popcornprosecco.com. And then all three of us are all over the internet as well. Angie, you want to go first?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at AJHAN, and I write for slashfilm.com.
Christy?
You can find me on Twitter at Christy Puchko. You can find career highlights at decadentcriminals.com because I'm writing all over the place. And on Mondays, you can find my Game of Thrones recaps on Spinoff.
And you can catch me on Twitter at PNemroff, and my writing is at collider.com. So thank you guys for watching, and we'll see you next week.
Inappropriate.